Good morning.
Good morning.
I promise you this will be the last week of Galatians from me. You'll hear more from Galatians from Chris Dunbar. We're in chapter 5, the latter part of chapter 5. And what I want to do is first read the portion for today. And we'll do a quick recap of what we've talked about before. And then go into details about the message for today. So we are in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 16 till the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ are crucified. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And for a quick recap, we are in the book of Galatians. We've seen that the theme of the book of Galatians is justification and sanctification are by grace through faith. The purpose of the book of Galatians is to teach that the Mosaic laws and good works play no role in justification or sanctification, to refute the Judaizers who taught that in order to be saved, the Gentile believers must obey the Jewish law, and to call the Christians to faith and freedom in Christ. The book was written to the churches which were in the southern part of Galatia, which were founded during Paul's first missionary journey. And then we've seen this several times where you can break the chapters into three. In the first two chapters, Paul talks about his theology. In the second two chapters, he establishes that theology. And the last two chapters, he defines the practical aspects of that theology. And we are in chapter 5, where we're focused on defining some of the practical aspects of that theology. And 2 weeks ago, not last week, the 2 weeks before that, we were in the first part of chapter 5, and we delved into four action statements, which gave us a good summary of the first 15 verses. Chapter 5 and verse 1, which said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So the four action statements first was stand fast, or to stand fast continually in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Second was to not be entangled. Not be entangled to what? To be entangled to the yoke of bondage. So entangled in the sense of being accidentally caught up. So you need to be vigilant and careful and stand fast. So if you're not watching and standing firm, then you are prey to false teachings, or prey to be puffed up and with your scriptural knowledge and front slide potentially into legalism. So we are to stand fast. We are to not be entangled. And then number three was in chapter 5 and verse 5, where we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In the eyes of God the Father, we have been declared righteous. We are righteous, but our righteousness is not fully yet revealed. And as long as we are on this earth, the presence of sin is still here. The penalty of sin is broken once and for all, on the cross of Calvary, and you and I are daily being sanctified and becoming more like Christ with the enablement of the Holy Spirit. The power of sin is broken, and it is an ongoing process of sanctification. And the last one, action verb that we saw in the first part of chapter 5, which was chapter 5, verse 6 and 13, where it says to be by love, work, and serve one another. And verse 14, where it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So doing good works and serving one another is the last piece of that puzzle, where we are saved by faith and not works. But those that are saved by faith have much to be thankful for, and that thankfulness is manifested in the love that you have for God and your neighbor, which automatically spurns you to good works. So that's a brief summary of what we've looked at in the earlier part of chapter 5. So I wanted to title the message for today, starting in verse 16, as the Battle of Two Forces. The next section, which is starts in verse 16, Paul is addressing what real fruit looks like, and he is obviously saying and evidently saying that the Galatian believers were not really being fruitful, as they were busy instead being legalistic or trying to get people circumcised in their efforts. Legalism always breeds a sort of competition, and Paul tells them that in verse 15. It says, but if we bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. So just in terms of legalism, to stop being, it's legalism is also very competitive, and one might one way is more right than the other, or those who are circumcised are only right and others are not. So Paul is warning them against that, and devouring each other and biting each other and not being consumed of one another. And then jumping into verse 16, then Paul says, it's kind of a transition, he says, this I say then, okay? And it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The first action here is to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, what happens? What automatically happens is that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The first qualifier here is to first walk in the Spirit. Now, the Christian life is always always compared to a journey, and we see that even in the Old Testament, where the Israelites sojourned in the desert, and in similar manner, we also are walking or journeying in this world, waiting for our heavenly Canaan. So in terms of a comparison of our Christian life, it's compared to a journey. And so in this life, you and I are walking. And how is that? How are you supposed to walk? You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And what does walking in the Spirit really mean? It is that you're walking in obedience and obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Spirit says, you listen and obey. Now, to quickly illustrate that, now if I was walking down the street with my children, and I first tell them to hold my hands, and then secondly, I also tell them to listen to me and make sure that they listen to what I say, especially when I cross the street with them. Otherwise, they will do whatever they want and run around and get into trouble or get run over. You know, it's a similar direction here with the Spirit. It says now with the Spirit, likewise in the Christian life, we must listen to the Spirit as we walk. The Spirit should be our guide in our Christian life. What is the Spirit that we're talking about here? The Spirit is the same Spirit we heard about in the earlier part of Galatians chapter chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it is that Spirit. It is the Spirit of His Son, or it is the Spirit of Christ that dwells within us. And it is that Spirit that you're supposed to listen to or take heed to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And in previous messages, we've also mentioned where we are tripartite being, where we are spirit, soul, and body. So when the Spirit of God is living within you, Paul is imploring the Galatian believers here to obey the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit in your daily Christian walk. The Spirit of His Son and your spirit has joined together, and God has done this supernaturally where He's merged your spirits together with His Spirit, and it's a perfect union. So how does this look like if you talk about in the practical aspects, how does this look like in your Christian walk or in your day-to-day walk? And I'm going to use a very simplistic example. So think about this. So what if your car had some problems, and you've always wanted a new car recently, and lo and behold, your neighbor just got just the car that you wanted. And you're frustrated one day when your car doesn't start and you're stalled on the highway, and your tow truck has to come pick you up, and you get home. And the first thing you tell your wife is, "Honey, I'm going to buy a new car." And next Saturday you go out and buy a new car. Now, why do I use this silly example? It's very relevant in terms of our day-to-day lives and the decisions that we do and what we deal with every day. If we are walking in the Spirit, maybe you would have first taken the matter to the Lord in prayer and let the Spirit reveal to you what is the best for your family, if it is the best or God-honoring decision to make for your family. Now, it's a simple example, but walking in the Spirit looks like this. When you're yielding to the Spirit in how you think, in how you act, in how you react, and how you make decisions, not only in the big things, whether you are buying a new car or other things or going to be a missionary, but in everything, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you heeding to the voice of the Spirit that is inside you? Now, it's not just any Spirit, it's the Spirit of the Son of God that dwells inside you. And Paul is asking us to, and as well as the Galatian believers, he says to walk in that Spirit, heeding to the call and direction of that Spirit. So thus, being led by that Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, it involves three things. It involves, first, the desire to hear. Number two, the readiness to obey God's Word. And number three, the sensitivity to discern between you what your feelings are and what the Spirit is actually prompting you. Okay? So if you're being led by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, you first have to have a desire to hear the Spirit. And then you have to have a readiness to obey God's Word, because the Spirit is only going to talk to you about the Word of God or in light of the Scriptures. And then lastly, you need to have the sensitivity from a spiritual maturity perspective, where you can discern the difference between what your feelings are, what you want to do, versus what the Spirit is really prompting you to do. So you can definitely be sure the Spirit is leading you when the leading comes in line with the Word of God. Be rest assured that the Spirit will never lead you outside of what the Word of God says. The Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of God, will never lead you outside the boundaries of the Word of God. And so we heard Daniel speak about this a couple weeks ago, where walking in the Spirit can be equated to being occupied with Him constantly and consistently. So walking in the Spirit, live each day and every moment controlled and guided by the Spirit of God. And so if you do that, then the words of Christ will be in your mind. The love of Christ will be displayed in your actions. And the power of Christ will help you control your selfish desires. I'm going to say this one more time. If you live each day and each moment controlled by the Spirit, the words of Christ will be in your mind. The love of Christ will be in your actions. And the power of Christ will help you control your selfish desires. Now, if you go to the next verse, because if you're not guided by the Spirit, if you look at verse 17, we'll see what happens. For The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now the word contrary is a very military-based word, where it's almost like it's an entrenchment between the two forces. It's a battle of two forces. On one side, it's the flesh, and on the other side, it's the spirit. And the spirit and the flesh are entrenched against each other. There's no third option that you and I have to listen to. It's either the flesh or the Spirit of God which dwells within you. So let's look at some examples of the flesh. I'll point to something earlier in my life when we used to go to a church in Philadelphia. It was a very small and cramped facility. There wasn't a lot of space, so if everyone came, all the seats were filled. We all made sure we all had our own seats, and we all consistently sat in our own seats. But lo and behold, if one day you were a little late, you walked in, you saw someone else sitting in your seat. And at that moment, what's the first thing that comes to your forefront? Is it the spirit or is it the flesh? And I'll confess, it's usually the flesh, because then my next thought is, hey, I'm going to come 10 minutes early next Sunday because I don't want to lose my seat. All right, so how about this? If I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this one. I'm sure all of you went to Christmas shopping in the mall or before Christmas. And usually what happens is the mall is packed and the parking lots are fully packed with cars, and you see one guy putting his reverse lights on, and you're about to pull out. And what he does is usually, and you're waiting there patiently with your blinkers on, you know, making sure that no one else gets in front of you. And lo and behold, what he does is he pulls out right in front of you so that you can't move into the spot. And someone else pulls in.
Nope.
Exactly. What is it that comes to our forefront? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? Now, a lot of you have buy new cars, and I try not to buy new cars because I don't like this happening to me. So if you buy a new car and you leave it in the parking lot, what's the first thing that happens? Someone's going to ding it, right? And George is shaking his head because it's going to happen to him. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you walk out and see it in the parking lot with a ding in it? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? You know, the flesh wants us to live a defeated Christian life. And the flesh, throughout our daily life, is constantly lusting after the spirit. And I just use some of those examples to kind of bring to light how each and every one of us is prone to this. Now, the flesh is not what we call the body. So this right here, the body is not the flesh. What is then the flesh? The flesh is not the mortal frame, but it's instead the carnal nature or the old man. And we heard before, we've talked about this before, where the presence of sin is still in this world. And until we are glorified, until we get our glorified body, in this world, the presence of sin is still there. So it's the old nature that is within us. It's the traitor that is within each and every one of us. It's the old nature that used to have us in bondage before we came to Christ. The sin nature is never satisfied. It is never satiated. It is in constant desire and hunger and lusting for sinfulness. It yearns after the things of this world. And everything that we see that we like, we want. And that's covetousness, right? And you can't negotiate with this old nature. But it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says what? You are supposed to crucify the old man. You and I, we all have that traitor that lives within us. The power of the traitor, the power of the old man is broken by the new birth and the Spirit of God. And so if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the carnal man or the carnal nature. Who are you allowing to have a hold of you or to have control of you? Before you and I were saved, we did not have the Spirit of God within us. But now the Spirit of the Son has been placed within us. And now we should not yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And sin does not have dominion over us. But instead we are to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God and walk in the newness of life. And this is a daily and ongoing sanctification process. And as we saw before, it is a constant struggle within, between the flesh and the Spirit. And we read about this in turn with me to Romans chapter 7. We read quickly about Paul, one of the greatest apostles, who has written several of the New Testament books. And even Paul struggled with this. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, and I'll read. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I will not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That even Paul very detailed describes about the struggle within him. And only the Spirit can help us to have victory over this flesh. You and I don't need to feel condemned that there is a wrestling. The wrestling is an evidence of the new birth. Before you and I were saved, we did not have to wrestle in doing sinful things or lustful things. We did what we wanted to do. And the sinful nature had full control over us, and we were totally, fully in bondage to sin. Now that you are in Christ Jesus, there is a new master in your life. Let the Spirit of God rule your life and run your life, and thus walk in the Spirit and crucify the old man. When we come to verse 18, it says, "But if we be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Being led by the Spirit is very powerful. The law cannot condemn the believer though he commits real sin. For Christ, in whom we believe,